6. Isaiah chapter 26, verses 1 through 3. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. I want to go to Colossians chapter 3. Read verse 12, Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And one more place in the scriptures, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 9. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Amen. Those things which you have both heard and learned and received and heard, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. I want to title this tonight, Perfect Peace. Let's just pray for the morning. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to meet in your house and to be with your people, Lord, and to be able just to enjoy the blessings of your presence and of your word, Lord, to sing praises to you and just to open our hearts to you, that you might come in and just have your way. And so tonight, Lord, that's what we do. We ask God that you just come and just speak to every heart, each one that's here present, each one that's streaming or will listen later. We pray, God, that you would speak to each one, Lord, and show them thy glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Pray. Perfect peace. I really liked that. I thought that was really nice when it's there in Isaiah chapter 26, speaking of a song that would be sung in Judah, and says, we have a strong city. You know, in their day, back then, they had to build big walls and put things around them to protect them from the enemy. And so, but this is speaking of a day that would come where the people would have great walls about them, and it would be walls of salvation. Amen? Walls of salvation. That would be the thing that would protect them. And so verse 2 said, to open up the gates of this great city that we're protected by, open the gates up and let those that keep the word and let the righteous, let them come in and enjoy that city and enjoy the protection of the walls of salvation.
Right.
And so, but the verse 3 there was the one that really I wanted to springboard off of. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And so tonight, that's what I want to speak on, is perfect peace. You know, when you're hungry, what do? When you need food, well, most of us will go to the store, you know, the sisters and the ones that do the buying of groceries or whatever, and when you need something, some food or something like that, then you go to the store. You go to a store that provides food. If you need clothing, what do? You go to a clothing store, right? You might go to Walmart, or you might go to, I don't know, TJ Maxx, or I hope we don't get in trouble for naming business names. Probably not. They probably want the advertisement. But if you want clothing, you go to a clothing store. You know, if we want some fishing gear or some hunting gear, we probably go to Academy or maybe Cabela's or maybe the Bass Pro Shop. Maybe they're all the same. I don't know now. But we go there if we need some supplies like that. If you need some medicine, probably go to the pharmacy, right? And so if you need a car, you go see Brother Daniel, right? So if you need some hardware or some lumber, you'll go see Benjamin or go see Malachi, right? And just sometime here, not too far down the road, if you need some adjustment or some help with some therapy, you might go see Brother Dylan. Right? So, if you need a plumber, well, we're going to call Brother Matthew, or maybe Brother Jordan. Right? And the thing I say all that is this, is because when you need something, you know where to go. You go to the place where you can get what you're looking for.
Right.
And so, we don't go down to the automotive store and tell them you want a new pair of shoes. Right? Imagine if I left here and I went down to O'Reilly's and I walked in there and said, yeah, I'd like to order a hamburger and french fries and a lemonade. What do you think those people behind that counter would think? What would you think if you saw me do that? Because that's not the appropriate place to go to get a hamburger and french fries, right? It's a place to go get a starter or something like that for your car. Yeah. And so the whole point is there is an appropriate place to go get what you need.
Yeah.
And so I ask you tonight, where do you go when you need peace?
Amen.
Where do you go to find peace for your heart? And I think we could all say that you'd have to go to the place where you could find it.
Right?
You'd find peace. And so where would we go? Do we go? And I know all of us, we're all humans, and we like fellowship with other humans.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so, but you realize another person, there's only so much that person can do to help you. They cannot be your Holy Ghost. They cannot be your God.
Right.
And so there's only so much they can do, friendship and help and have a good time with them and all that sort of thing. There's only so far they can go, and it would be kind of silly and wrong to try to extract from a person that which they can't supply. Right? So when you need peace, you don't go to man. You don't go to man to find it. Even though we're guilty of that, friendships and things like that. We don't go to a man's system, some system that man has made up that's supposed to provide some pleasure of life or some enjoyment or something like that. Some people will turn to government programs. They have a rough time, they'll turn to a government program, whether it may be welfare or whatever it might be. Some people do that to try and find what they need. And so a lot of people, you know, some people maybe, we live in an age where just, you know, Brother Bev talked about, just, I forget the numbers on it, but pretty much just about everybody was nervous, right? It's the age we live in, and people are nervous. And so you realize that where things have gone, that most people have to deal with being nervous from time to time, and some people have it worse than others. And so a lot of people, they'll turn to a psychiatrist. They'll turn to a man and some skill, something they've learned in college or whatever, to try and find problems. I listened to Brother Bradley, and he said, you know, and the insanity is that a man will go out and get so drunk that he's out of his mind.
Yeah.
Pay all this money and get drunk and get out of his mind. But if he happens to get out of his mind without the drinking, he'll go spend all this money on doctors to try and figure out why he's out of his mind.
Right.
And yet he'll go drink and put himself out of his mind in sorts of things. And so people, you know, they turn to this and turn to that for joy. You know, the people who have drinking problems, a lot of times it's because they're sad, they got the blues, they turn, and they find Satan gives them a false sense of something out of drinking and so forth. So we don't want to turn to that and expect to something a peace. Some people might say, "Well, I'll just get me a new romance novel. I'll just read that. That'll make me feel good. That'll make me feel not have sorrow in my heart or something like that." Or I'll go watch TV. I'll pull up a TV program. That'll be my comfort. That'll be my peace. Right? We've all been guilty of stuff like that, right? And so maybe nowadays they say, "Well, I'll just open up my favorite app on the phone and I'll see what all my friends are doing, or I'll see what's trending or something like that, or I'll post something and maybe I'll get a lot of comments and that'll make me feel good." A lot of people do that. Some people would turn to a hobby. Nothing wrong with a hobby as long as it doesn't keep you from serving God. So, you know, you can have enjoyment out of a hobby. Hunting, fishing, whatever, a sports of some sort. All those things, but you realize all of those things are just temporary, and I'll say they're not genuine peace. They cannot provide genuine peace because they are temporary.
Amen.
And so, we have come to a time in this history, a time and a place in history where the world is falling apart. That's why Brother Branham preached that so many times, that everything that used to work is not working.
Right.
You know? And so people don't want to believe that. I was talking to someone today, and back when all the stuff was happening in 2020 and 2021 and 2022, if you know what I mean, when all that's going on, and us common folks are staring around going, "This is a bunch of lies.
Right.
This is a bunch of nonsense, manufactured, you know, and just aggressive power." We can see that. But you didn't hear that coming from leadership. And now when all the evidence is out there and it's coming out, and all, not just simulations, but true evidence is saying, agreeing with it, well, us common people knew, but those people will not admit it. Right? They just refuse to admit that they flopped when they locked things down and did the things they did. They refuse to admit that there was a lot of lies and a lot of capital gains that was being made by a bunch of people looking for opportunities and manufactured those opportunities. They just don't want, they still believe that there was realness to that that wasn't real. There was some real to it. You understand what I'm saying? But they refuse to believe that humanity has done that to their brothers, to the other humanity. And they just double down and triple down on it. You know, one of the first things you got to do is admit you're wrong. You want to get right with God, you want your life to turn around, you've got to say, "I've been wrong."
Yeah.
And they just won't do that. So they don't believe that it's falling apart. But I'm telling you, look out there. Tell me what's not falling apart.
Yeah.
Everything is. All, you know, when you used to have good, sensible things and you had good, you know, people just pretty much all across there, you had some wisdom that was present and it was still prevalent and still had high standing in society, wisdom and stability, and level-headedness. But you don't find that hardly now. It's becoming a dying breed. The separations, the insanity, there's building up and getting bigger, and there's becoming a greater divide between those that are after all those things and hook, line, sinker, and the little simple common people who want to serve God and believe truth and live after truth. It's just getting more and more divided lines there.
Yeah.
Right.
And so the world's falling apart. They don't want to believe it. And so you can't go out and you know, like it was 20, 30 years ago. I think we could all say that since about December of 2019, that something really happened on this planet.
Yeah.
Because people are so much different now than what they were.
Right.
And it's it's a product of what's going on. We know that, but you know, their mental stability is gone, some of you heard me say this, but to me, these things bring out the character issues with pretty much all of humanity. Because I tell people at work, you know, if a person doesn't have the Holy Ghost, if the Holy Ghost not got a hold of their life, then they put out biases and they got opinions and they sway things all the time in the direction they want. Yeah. You've got to have something in control of your life besides yourself. Right. If you want it to be right and be in the middle of the road and not be biased and want to pull a little, you know, pull that, well, I want it, my own little deal, and so I'll shade it this way so I'll get what I want. And a lot of times, you know, the scripture said a heart's desperately wicked. Who can know it, right? How do you know? And so people just, you know, programs that paid people to stay at home, and now nobody wants to work. Right. And so there's something that's happened to humanity in the last few years. Their mental capacity, their ability to, you know, their lawlessness is increasing. And so, and all I can say is that this is a result of the situation. It was actually by design, Satan plan or whatever. But when we live in a society, or when we live in our own lives, when we live in a life that's contrary to the Word of God, while that's happening, there is decay taking place. Yeah. We're getting worse. Humanity's getting worse. The more people sit at home and draw something and not get up and work like they should, the more they do that, the more that they're decaying and society's decaying. And what you're seeing out there is just, to me, is the final moments of what of this world, because of they living and embracing things that aren't right. A man's supposed to work. And if a man just sits around and embraces being lazy and expecting somebody else to provide for him, he's decaying. His morals, everything. And you see that all across the world. And when governments are able to flat out lie and blame other people and put them in jail when they're not even guilty of things, and they live like that, it just decays, and it's just getting worse and worse and worse, because it's headed in that direction. And it's a result of an ungodly society. That's what it's from. And so it has to be that way. So the world is falling apart. And so, you know, it's like, you know, thank God for the medical community, but look at the magnitude and the frequency of the mistakes now. Used to be once in a while, and it's almost every time there's something wrong. Yeah. It's really bizarre, right? And so the world's falling apart, and it has to, because we've come to a time where this has to happen in this world, and where God's people have to not look toward those things. They have to look toward the right source to find peace and comfort and joy in their lives. Right. And so we don't want to go out there and look to those things. We don't want to look to a world that's falling apart to try and find peace and comfort in our lives. Yeah. We don't want to look to them to try and let them tell us how we should live. You want to let somebody in Hollywood tell you how you should marry? Come on. Really? They're good examples, huh? I'm being facetious. So we've got to pay attention to what we look to for our God, and what we look to find peace and comfort in our lives.
Right.
And what we're going to be guided by. And it's not a world system that's falling apart. But we want to find peace. We're going to go to the source where we can find peace.
Yeah.
And as the scripture said, He's the God of peace. Right? The God of peace, you know, the word shalom, Brother Brand preached the sermon, shalom, is peace. And I love the things that he said. We mention this all the time, but, you know, scripture's talking about Melchizedek. He was king of righteousness, king of peace, king of Salem, Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is the city of peace. Of course, there's a natural Jerusalem, but there's a spiritual Jerusalem, the bride of Christ. And so, the city of peace, and Melchizedek was the king of that city, which we know was before Jesus became what he is now. God was there, and it was Christ in that form. But now, it's Jesus Christ. He is the King of the City of Peace. He's the King of Peace. He's the King of Jerusalem. And so, Shalom is peace. And Brother Bram, in those sermons, Shalom, he read the scriptures where he said, it's darkness, gross darkness upon the people, upon the land. Right? Is that what we're seeing? The world's falling apart and everything. The people are groping in darkness. And it's a result of them embracing an ungodly system and just continue to become more ungodly every day. So that's their lot. That's what has to happen. But Brother Manley, in that sermon, you got to realize now that God has sent a prophet, and God has used him and spoke through him and brought us through the seven church ages, brought us to the opening of the seals. The book of redemption is now open, and now the names and the contents is there, can now be consumed by us, read and consumed. Now we can know things about the plan of redemption that was hid. Now we can know those things, and this is the breaking of a new day to us.
Right?
Right? When the seals open, we're coming out of time, coming out of church ages, into eternity. And so this message is a message of eternity, and it's bringing us to a new day, which is eternity, because the seventh is over with, seventh church age over with. And so we realize that Brother Edwin was saying this, that gross darkness upon the people. He said, as I read the other day, that people talk to them, and they're good people, but the men aren't masculine anymore. Yeah. The women aren't feminine anymore.
Right.
They want to cross-dress and all those things, and he was saying that back then. What about now? And he said, but they're good people. And he said, what's caused it? Gross darkness. So you realize that this world, because of the fall, it is headed to a total, complete collapse. It's total, complete judgment because it's an ungodly system. So we're coming into this time where Brother Rem said, now we've reached this place where it's gross darkness. Men don't even want to be men anymore. Women don't want to be women anymore. And he's telling us all the time about the hybrid foods and all the effects that it's affecting us and what's going on. And he said it's gross darkness.
Yeah.
Gross darkness upon the land, upon the people. Remember, darkness came, was the last thing that came in Egypt just before they went out of Exodus, and in the firstborn being death, it was darkness. Darkness through the land. But Brother Abraham said this, he said, but to the believer. This gross darkness and all that, he said, but to the believer, while that's happening to them, to the believer, it's shalom. He said, in other words, it means good morning. And good morning means it's a new day.
Yeah.
So while the world is falling apart and burning down, that's the world. But to those who embrace what God is doing in this hour, what he's done and is doing, it's shalom.
Yeah.
It's a new day. It's not darkness for us, right? And so it's peace. It's shalom. And so we've come to a day where all these things fall apart, and yet in that day, when all these things are happening, we find peace. As I said a while ago, he is the King of Peace, the King of Jerusalem, the King of the city, Jerusalem, new city Jerusalem. And I ask you, if it's the City of Peace, then what goes on in that city? What kind of living? What kind of activities? What kind of people live there? For it to be the City of Peace, then it would be a people who have peace reigning in their hearts, and the way they live and treat one another would be conducive of a city of peace. You follow me? Right? And so to be in that city, and remember what we said, we have a city with great walls, salvation of the Lord, right? And let the righteous come into that city. Let them all come into that city and experience the joy and the righteousness and sing this song and the songs and so forth that go with that. And so you think about what goes on in that city, and it's righteousness, and it's a right kind of living, and where God rules and reigns and in the hearts of his people through love, and it's a city of peace. And so that's where we want to turn to.
Right.
We want to turn to the source of peace, the God of all peace, to the peace that passes all understanding, Let that rule in your hearts, and you'll find that in New Jerusalem. You'll find that in the church, in the word that's living and burning in the hearts of the bride. That's where you find that kind of peace,
right.
Is in the bride of Christ. And so we want to run to that in this hour when there's gross darkness everywhere else. We've got to run to the place where you can find peace. And you won't find it out there, and you won't find it in the denominations, but you'll find it in the present day living word of the Lord that he's poured out in this earth. And so, even more in this hour, should we run to this, even more when we see the day approaching as we are. In an hour where Satan's got more distractions for people to be distracted by than ever before. You know, Brother Brand preached Satan's Eve. That Satan has worked for 6,000 years to make this world and the cosmos of man, the man's system, to make it his Eden. His perfect place where everything just like he wants it. So he can cause people just to, you know, live the sin that happened in the Garden of Eden just every day, their whole lives, everywhere, just fall over and over and over. So in a day like that, and Brother Branham comes along and he preaches Satan's Eden, and he preaches the God of this evil age. Talk about the God of this evil age, right? And he said in that sermon, he said, and we're quoting scripture, and he said, never before in Moses' day or any other day back then was he was ever referred to as the God of this evil age until this day. That's how bad it's got. That's how bad it's got. And so, but yet in all that hour, when all that's going on, God's people find peace. And what comes to mind at the moment is Psalms 27, when Brother Branham said, when the enemies compass me about and there's troubles on every side, there's one thing I'm looking to, and that's the Lord, right? That I can enter into his house and into the house of the Lord, dwell there all the days of my life and inquire of the Lord to see his beauty and to behold him. And so God's people, there in this time, are to find peace.
Right.
And so if we're not finding peace in our lives, we're looking the wrong places. Lord, forgive me for mentioning, but that country music song, Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places. If you want to find the right kind of wife, don't go to a bar room. Go to church. Because the best place you can find a good wife would be at church. If you can get her to come to church, or if she is in church. And so, if you're not got peace reigning and ruling in your heart, it's because we're not fully connected to what God is doing in this day. We're looking for peace and love and comfort in other places. But as I said, it's shalom. Gross darkness, but to the bride, it's not gross darkness. Why? Because as you read the scriptures, the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. The glory of the Lord has arisen upon the bride in this message. And so if we're not seeing the glory of the Lord, we're not looking at the right thing. Like Brother Graham said, if you don't see Jesus Christ on every verse, every line, go back and read it again because you're reading it wrong. But what God is doing in this day is the glory of the Lord that has risen upon a people who believe. A people who trust in thee. I'll keep you in perfect peace. Him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed up on the Lord.
Right.
And you realize out in the world, Satan's got everything and every distraction in the world to get our minds off of the Lord, off of the kingdom of God. But the scripture, as we read, said, I will keep thee in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon the Lord, because we trust in him. Right? Right? And so in this hour of darkness, we can't look to those things. We have to look to the promise of God and connect ourselves with a message that has caused the glory of the Lord, the light of God, to shine upon us, making a new day for us. We got to connect to that. And so, it's the glory of the Lord that's risen upon us. And so, you know, everything else out there in the world, all those other things, you know, that Satan has, I said a while ago, are temporary things. Those things just leave us empty and bare.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I say this, some of these young people, you know, some young people just got jobs or whatever. And you know, when you're thinking, oh, I'm going to get a job, and I'm gonna have some money, and you know, you think about those things, and it doesn't take very long after you have the job, and you're like, oh, I gotta get up and go to work, right? The new wears off, right. And now it's not. And you're like, oh, I'm gonna get a car, and then you get the car, and just a few days later, all that joy wears off, because
right.
It's temporary.
Right.
And you're like, you know, whether it's a girlfriend or whatever it is, anything. If it's of this world and it's temporary, then at some point it just leaves you empty and bare. You go buy a new car and it leaves you with an empty bank account, you know. And after a while, it's not as glorious as what you thought. So, you know, things that are temporary, things that are in time, things that are subject to time, disappoint us.
Yeah.
This is subject to time. This right here, your flesh, my flesh. And it disappoints us. Because the older you get, more pains, you know, it disappoints you. Everything in this world, in the natural, disappoints you. And it's supposed to. Because you can't extract from time and from the world the subject of time, you can't extract from that something that can only come from eternity.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that. And so it all has to fall apart, and it is because it's under the curse, and they're just going as hard as they can to a final judgment. But we can't let that be our source of peace and our source of comfort and our source of guidance, right? Because that's gross darkness.
Mm-hmm.
But what we can do is look to the light of God that has shone upon us and risen upon us. That people should be able to look at us and see the glory of the Lord on the bride and see that there's some difference. That they themselves, whether they would know what's going on or not, but they could look and say, you know what? There's something about that person I want to be, I like, I see. That they could see there's some glory there, something better, and wish that, and maybe perhaps it would draw their lives to make the commitment. And so all these other things will leave you empty and bare, and you find out that they just don't satisfy. Yeah, you can get a new car, you can get a new gun, you get a new fishing pole, and there's a temporary little fun like that, but that can never answer that deep call in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one thing that can make you have peace, and that's the Prince of Peace, that is the King of Peace. And so you have been, because you are come from God, you have inside you a deep call for true, genuine peace that comes from heaven. And so because you have that deep call, then Brother Brim said, you couldn't have it if it wasn't out there to respond. So when you get the new car, you get whatever it is, and that fades away and there's no more joy in it, you know that did not have lasting satisfaction.
Right.
And so then you know you've got something else you long for. The whole planet, the world, just long. They all have a longing. And so you know that if you've got that desire in your heart, then it's out there for you. If you've got a desire to have a peace of God that passes all understanding, there is a peace of God that passes all understanding out there for you. And by that, then you know, first of all, you know He's there. You know the King of Peace is there. You know the City of Peace is there because you're longing for it. See, Abraham looked for that city. He had a longing for that city. And he couldn't long for it if it wasn't there. So if you have that desire in your heart for a genuine peace, the peace of God, then it's because it's there. And that lets you know that He's there because you have a call for it. But it also tells you what you are and who you are because you're calling for it.
Mm-hmm.
There was so much in that deep call to deep when Brother Brennan brought that concept to us. And so you're designed to have, it's a love affair. And I don't put it this way, you know, just like a man and a woman who are in love with each other. Maybe they're not married, but they, you know, they love each other. Maybe they're separated or far from each other or something like that. But you know, like you sisters, you know, if you loved your boyfriend before he became your husband and you were separated from him and your heart was toward him and he was the only one that was on your mind, right? if you really love him. He was the only one. You couldn't get him off your mind. Same way with the men and the wife, woman. And so there's only one that can satisfy the longing of her heart, and that's the one she loves. And the more she is around and subjected to others, the more she wants him. Because they are not him. And so what I'm trying to say is that in this end time, while everything's falling apart and all that, and every time we come back empty. Because that's not him. And the only place you're going to find what truly gives you joy in this day, the only thing that can make you have joy and peace in your heart while the world is burning down, is your connection to the one that you've got a predestinated deep calling for. And that is the King of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's the only way that you can have that. And so, the more she's subjected to all this stuff, other stuff, the more she wants him, the more she loves him. And so that's what's happening. As this world is becoming what it is, we're finding that these things are literally temporary, and they're not a source to go to for peace. So as the world falls apart, it's only natural for the bride to look away to Jesus. That's what Brother Brown talking about when he preached that sermon, look away to Jesus. When you see this squeeze come down and they begin to tighten up, they bring the pressure upon the bride, look away to Jesus. Right? Look then to Jesus. Amen. And so, he's the only one that can produce peace in our lives. And I said a little while ago, but you know, these other things are temporal, but there's only one place that you can find only that which is internal can satisfy a call that comes from eternity. Let me put it that way. So, you know, in this, the Bible is very clear, in this world, men's hearts are fading for fear. Jesus said so. And we see that. And I thought our sister's song there just a little while ago that she commented on, I thought it was very very timely for what I've got written here to say, and maybe even inspired her being inspired to say this, because when I men's hearts are fading for fear, and I wrote down here, what do our young people have to look forward to? What do they have to look for? Right? You think about it. Even not as a Christian, but just people in this world, and you see what's going on, what do they have confidence in? The good old American, whatever they call it, opportunity is not there for them like it was for us. It's not there. And so, I just said, what do our young people have to look forward to in this world when everything's the way it is? And the very next thing I wrote is, we need a move of God. Right? We need a move of God that can wake them up to the realities of God. They need to see God. They don't need to see church. They don't need to see denominations. They don't need to see governments. They don't need to see all this nonsense. They need to see a move of God that will show them that God is real, just like she said. God is real. He still does the things that he does, and that's what they need to see. Because, brother, sister, when you come in contact with God, it changes you, and that's what they need to see. And so it may look ever so dark, and it may be ever so dark out there, but God is a God of light. And anytime you bring light into a dark situation, things change. That's the way it was when I went over and prayed for Brother Brian Milton's sister. It was dark in that room. I don't mean physically, but the demons and the spirits. And I went in there and I thought, man, what am I going to do? These people, drug dealers and everything else in here. But I had enough belief, and I just under my breath just sit there and prayed, Lord, you open the door. You make something happen here. And he did. And so anytime you go into a dark situation, take the Lord with you. And you might have to stand there for a while, but God is never, you see him in battle. He's never defeated, right? Never. And to the degree that we can stand on his word, that's the degree in which he will do because he has to perform his word. And so our young people, not just young people, all of them, they need to see a reality of God and a move of God, that God is the answer. He is the peace that will pass all understanding. Mm-hmm. And when everything's crumbling around you, it takes the peace of God to have peace while everything's going chaotic, right? Like Brother Bram said, that one guy was, I don't remember the exact, but it was a guy that was staying with an elderly woman, and they had a tornado. A tornado was coming, and he was scared to death, and this woman was just calm. She was calm as could be. She wasn't worried about that tornado coming because she knew God. Right. And he took notice to that. And so, you know, when things are going crazy, people don't need to see you or me all upset and frantic. Right. They need to look and they go, man, I want what they got.
Yeah.
Right? And so, but the only way you can have that, you've got to have it in you to give out before you can give it out. And so it goes back to, what are we looking to? What are we connecting to? What is our source that we're going to produce? Because if you go to sugar cookies and ice cream all the time, you're not going to be able to manifest much after a while in strength.
Okay.
So you understand, what are we going to? And if we want to be able to show people the hand of the Lord moving, we got to make sure we're connected to the right thing.
Yeah.
And that we have the glory of the Lord upon us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll end here by when that scripture said, I will keep him perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon the Lord. In a day with all these distractions, in a day with all this darkness, in a day that God will never be defeated. Looks like all that out there. It looks like Goliath, but God still got his Davids. In a day with all these distractions and all that, God's people find peace.
Mm-hmm.
They actually become, we are the new city, Jerusalem. And so we are the city of peace. And let people experience what it's like to be around us. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And so God sent this message so that we could keep our minds stayed upon the Lord so that we could know what to trust in. But that's the key to it. If you want to walk in peace and live in the city of peace, you have to have your mind stayed upon the Lord and not let things distract you from the promises that God has so wonderfully shown in our day.
Amen.
So may the Lord richly bless you. Let us bow our hearts for a moment and let us sing just a little song here. Heavenly Father, we want to tell you that we love you. We appreciate all that you do for us, Lord. We appreciate, God, that in this hour that you have brought to us a message of peace, a shalom. And so, Lord, we just are asking, God, that you would just help us just to connect to it even that much more, to believe that much more, so that those around us, Lord, can see your glory upon us. We pray, God, that you would just have your way in our lives. We realize we've come to a place, Lord, where it's not just asking you, but Lord, it's all about the surrender in our lives, to surrender ourselves to you, and these things that you promised to show through us. Lord, that's the desire of our hearts, is that those around us that we love, we come in contact with, that they can be saved. And Lord, it is a dark hour, but we pray, God, that these things, these truths that you poured out upon your people, Lord, they manifest through our lives in a stronger way. Help us, Lord, to come to the place where we know how to surrender and how to connect to these things, and it might be shown through us. Because we believe it is a message of bringing us to a new day. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for all that you do. Ask God that you just keep leading us on more and more. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You love it? We go to 617. I always like this song, and every time I sing it, or we sing it,